Hey, grab your Bibles. We're in Romans chapter 8. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. We'll get you one. And you've got it, Romans 8. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you, Lord, for the example of so many in here as those that have given up their own freedom and given up of themselves, Lord, to defend others, to free others, to enable others to enjoy life. And so we this morning, Lord, know that that's an example that was set perfectly by your Son. He's the one that gave of himself so that we could enjoy freedom, so that we could enjoy life. And we love that example of those guys. So bless our vets this day. Fill and empower them, Lord. Comfort them where they need comfort. Use them more greatly in your kingdom. And this morning, Lord, we ask that you would use this wonderful book of Romans to meet us and to build us and to further us in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter 8. Maybe one of the most important chapters in the whole Bible. One of my favorite chapters for sure. And we've, for the last two Sundays, been looking at Romans chapter 8. Two Sundays ago, we looked at verse 1. That simply says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation when you're in Christ Jesus. Because of the work that he's done on our behalf and because of the adoption that we now enjoy, there's no condemnation. And so I can know if I'm feeling condemned, if I'm feeling like I don't measure up, if I'm feeling like my past prohibits me from being used today, I've blown it too bad, God's given up on me, there's no hope for me. If I'm feeling that way, it's not from God, from other sources. A pastor, a church, people, parents, my own psyche. It's not from God, though. There's no condemnation. We are in Christ Jesus. We saw that. We looked at that. You don't have to go through intermediate steps when you've blown it to get back to the Father. You can go straight, we saw, from the pig pen to God's presence. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. That is such glorious news that it makes me want to jump up and down. You know? It makes me want to get off this stool and dance. If I could dance. Which I can't. I can do the sprinkler, but that's about it. It's the only dance I know. We saw that. That's beautiful. That's wonderful. That's incredible. It warms my heart. Then last Sunday we saw verses 2 through 4. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Last week, we saw, well, we're not alone. God has given us this inheritance called his Spirit. And he dwells with us, rides with us. And when we simply listen to him, walk with him on this journey of life, we end up living rightly. We'll fulfill the law. We do what we're supposed to do. We're on the right course. Not with regulations, not with have-tos. It's, I love him and I'm listening to him because he's my companion. This is a love story. The more that you fall in love with Jesus, the more you will live righteously because you'll listen to him. It's simple. It doesn't have to be all complicated. In fact, the Bible, we saw, compares this relationship that we have with Jesus Christ, compares it to a marriage. Romans chapter 7, verse 4. It says we've been married to another, to Christ Jesus. It's that covenant we've entered into. It's compared to a marriage. Now, let me ask you a question. When you got married, did life change? The correct answer, guys, is yes. Life changes when you get married. There's a restructuring. There's a reordering. Priorities are changed. You live life differently when you get married. It's just that simple. Let me give you an example you might be experiencing right now. For 28 years of my life, from the time I was zero until I reached the age of 28, I never found it necessary to grab some buddies and get a camera and take a picture of myself and make a postcard of it and send it to all my friends for Christmas. I never did that. But you better believe this year, whether I like it or not, I'm going to sit down, there's going to be pictures taken, and I'm going to send the picture off to everybody. My life has changed. Things have changed in life. There's reordering, there's restructuring. When you get married, there's change that better take place. If you don't change in a marriage, what's going to happen is you're going to head for destruction. There's going to be trouble ahead. And so that's where we come to now. We come to, there should be some change. And that's our verse for this morning. It's verse 13. It says simply there, "For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live." There's this marriage relationship that we've entered into. And it can either be a life-giving relationship or it can be death. Life or death. There is no condemnation in Jesus Christ, but there better be change when you enter into Jesus Christ. There's no condemnation, definitely, because of what he's done for us. But our lives, because of this marriage, because of this relationship, there had better be change. And Paul here says there's really two paths you can take, the path of life or the path of death. And I'm assuming, simply by you being here this morning, I'm assuming that you are choosing the path of life. You're not choosing that path of death. Purposelessness, emptiness, directionlessness. You're saying, I want life. I want to know how to do this thing correctly. I want to succeed. I want that abundant life that the Bible speaks of. I'm assuming, by you simply being here, that's what you're choosing. And Paul here, in this verse, speaking of this relationship that we've entered into, hits on something that I find extremely practical. He looks at really two different powers, two different sides of this, the Holy Spirit side and our side, the power of the Spirit, but also our responsibility. He says here, the last part of verse 13, if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, that's the bad stuff. Deeds of the body, the stuff you shouldn't be doing. If you mortify the deeds of the body, he says, you shall live. The two powers, simply this. Number one, the Spirit reveals. And number two, we get radical. That's it. The Spirit reveals, and then we are to get radical. We're to mortify. First, the Spirit revealing. The Bible says this. And we'll see as we travel through chapter 8, in verse 26 and verse 27, it says there that God's Spirit searches our hearts, looks into the deepest parts of us, examines us, digs into us, and begins to reveal to us areas that are not correct, areas that are going to lead to death. That's why the psalmist David, he was called a man after God's own heart. He prayed this, Lord, search my heart. See if there be any wicked way inside of my heart. See if there's anything in me. And then lead me on the way everlasting. I can't know my heart. My heart is bad. Search it out. See if there's anything inside there that might be bad, that might be wrong. Search it out. The Spirit reveals the problem. It's like a marriage. It's like my wife. When I first got married, honestly, when I got married, I thought I was perfect. You know, I'm the perfect guy for you, sweetie. Match made in heaven right here. It wasn't too long before I began to realize that's not so. I've got some problems. I've got some issues. They were pointed out to me. It began to be revealed to me. I have issues. I've got problems. There needs to be some change in my life. And part of it was I needed to change, quite literally, my clothes. I had been, you know, I didn't quite have the style that I thought I had. And you should be very thankful that my wife revealed this to me. Because if not, I'd be up here dressed in like a Seattle grunge flannel shirt and MC Hammer parachute pants and my Danner boots. Probably breakdancing or something. That would have been my style. But my wife, in her calm, gentle way, began to reveal to me, Matt, you need some new clothes. But she didn't just reveal the problem. She also gave me power to change. She bought me new clothes. In fact, every article of clothing I'm wearing right now, bought by my wife. So if you don't like them, talk to her. She revealed the problem, but she also gave me the power to change, to become something different, to have a little bit of style. That's exactly what God's Spirit does to us. He begins to search our heart, look into the deepest part of us and say, Matt, this needs to change. This area needs to be modified. That action, that attitude, those things that you're doing, they need to change. And when the Spirit reveals the problem, He'll also provide the power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Zechariah 4, verse 6. It's something we studied in Acts or in Romans chapter 4, where Abraham considered not himself. It's not, I can't do it, or Lord, I can't. No, you don't come into the equation. The Spirit will reveal it, and if He's revealing it to you, He's going to give you the power. He's going to give you the power to get over it. That's the first power. The first part of this partnership, this marriage, this covenant, the Spirit searches us, looks into us, whispers to us, this needs to change. And I think every believer in here would say, I've sensed that before. I've heard that voice. I know that God has pointed out things in my life that needs to, I've experienced that. The searching, the revealing. We've all experienced that. But then there's the other side of it. It says there, if you through the Spirit, that's the Spirit, He begins to reveal the problem and also reveal the power. But then secondly, it says, if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. That's the other side. God's Spirit reveals the problem, also reveals the power. We need to get radical then. That word there for mortify, it doesn't mean to embarrass. That's kind of the way we use it. I was mortified by that situation. He called me up on stage, I was mortified. That's not what it means. It's the Greek word thanateo, which means, in the Greek, to annihilate, to destroy, to kill. That's what it means. It's a very powerful, very strong word in the Greek. You are going to kill that. You're going to nuclear bomb that. You're going to completely annihilate that thing when it's revealed to you. That's what's being said there. That's what we're to be doing. Not think about it when the Spirit reveals it to you. Not contemplate it. Good suggestion. Not even meditate on it. Mortify it. That's what we're to do. Kill it. Destroy it. That's our side. And that, quite often, is the problem. The Spirit will reveal things to us. That needs to change. And we don't mortify it. Well, what do we do? It's a little like this. About 12 years ago, 1995, I had graduated from Oregon State University. I could not find a job. It had been 6 months. I hadn't found a job. And so I had to do what any graduate does when you can't find a job. I moved home with my mom, you know. The only option I had at that point. And I just started doing whatever job I could do. Help the guy build a house, build decks for people, and just odd jobs, just to pay the bills, starting to pay back my school loans. I did whatever I could do. And so a friend of my mom had a friend that owns a farm out in Merlin. Just a little, like, little dinky, just, you know, just her farm. And so She had raised a couple of these turkeys for food. And she needed to, well, it was time to mortify those turkeys. And she didn't really want to do it. And so they asked, you know, could, you know, your son, we know he's not doing anything. He's a college graduate, just hanging out. Could he come over and help? And so I said, sure, you know, I can do that. And so I drive out to her property out there in Merlin, and I show up, and this lady, she is like, she's like, this cow is her best friend. It's following her around. These turkeys are right next to her. They're her best friend. They're right with, it's just this, I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be interesting. You know, they're like pets to her. And so she says, have you ever done this before? I said, no way. I grew up in the city, you know, Grants Pass. We didn't mortify turkeys in there. And so she said, well, this is how I think you're supposed to do it. She'd never done it either. So she said, you're supposed to, like, take them by the legs and tie them up. She had this pole across these two posts. And she said, you tie their legs upside down to this post here. And then you take this little, it was a little hammer handle, and you just kind of tap them on the head to knock them out, and then we'll deal with them from there. So I thought, okay, let's do it. And so I grabbed this first turkey, and they're 30 pounds. These are big turkeys. I grabbed this turkey, you know, I get up there, and I finally tie this leg, the legs up there, and I get the next one, I tie it up there, and they're kind of flapping their wings and, you know, making noises, and she's there right next to them. Oh, Trudy. Oh, Chippy, calm down. Oh. Go to your peaceful place. Go to your peaceful place. And I'm thinking, there's no more peaceful place than a freezer in February. Let's get this on. And so she said, she hands me the little handle, and I'm there looking at these turkeys, and she said, just tap them. You just want to just barely hit them on the brain just to kind of knock them unconscious. Okay. So I grabbed that little axe handle, and I looked at that turkey, and I just tapped it on the head. And that turkey flipped out. It didn't like that. It started flapping its wings, shrieking. The next one, the guy right next to it starts flapping his wings too, or her wings or whatever. There's feathers flying. This lady is shrieking and freaking out, and I'm like, oh no. And so finally she calms them down again. All right, perfect. She goes, you need to hit them just a little bit harder than that. Got that. I figured that much out. So, but not too hard, not too hard. You know, these are Tiffy, Trudy, oh, come on. And so I, okay. So next time, just a little bit harder. Made that thing even madder. It started to kind of fly up, you know. Its legs are pinned and it's starting to fly up. And the other one's flying up and it's just out of control. And she's getting real emotional. She's starting to cry. And so I'm kind of young and, you know, I just graduated from Oregon State. I'm starting to kind of get emotional too. And I'm thinking, lady, I wish you would have been, instead of raising turkeys, you would have raised ducks, because this would be no problem if there's a couple of ducks there. What can I say? Someone's going to mortify me in the parking lot for that. So I just said, lady, stand back. This is it. And I'll tell you what, they were mortified from that point on. I swung for the fence. I think too often we treat our sins like a pet turkey. Oh, you know. Tap. Just makes it mad. Oh, I don't want, oh, you know, it's not so bad, Lord. Tap. It doesn't work. Paul says here, when the Spirit reveals something to you, you mortify those things. Too often what we do is we justify. Oh, Lord, I've worked really hard this week, and I've been really good for a couple of days, and you know, I deserve a break today. That's what we do about our sins. We qualify. Lord, I know I shouldn't gossip, but I'm really just informing someone, you know? I'm just giving them some information there. We don't mortify. We modify. Not today, Lord. I'll take care of that tomorrow. Today's not good. I've got a bunch of stuff on my plate. I'll take care of that tomorrow. We qualify. We clarify to the Spirit. Here's the deal, Spirit. Now, other people can struggle in that area, and that'll get them, but I'm a strong believer. It doesn't affect me. I can handle that. I can deal with that. We make excuses. We justify. We tap, tap. And it just inflames those things and makes them more powerful. Paul says, you want to live Do you really want to live? Do you want life or do you want death? If you really want to live, then you shall, through the Spirit, mortify the deeds of the body. That's what you need to do. It's a theme throughout Scripture. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 says, put off the old conduct. Tear it off, literally. Take that stuff off. Get rid of it. Put off the old man, which is corrupt, lustful. And Ephesians 4, 31 says the same thing. Let us, let all this stuff, lasciviousness, evil speaking, all this garbage be put away with malice. Put it away with vengeance, with anger. Deal with it drastically. Galatians 5:24, crucify the flesh. Colossians 3, verse 5, mortify the deeds of the body. Mortify that evil stuff. Kill it. Fornication, inordinate affections, covetousness. You mortify it. You don't tap it. What you do when you tap it is you just inflame it. Feathers fly. Makes it powerful. Paul says you kill it. That's what you do. I was having lunch with a guy this week, and he was sharing with me his testimony. He said, I got saved, and I had been doing bad stuff in my life. I knew that. Some of the stuff went real easy. It was real simple. I just, you know, didn't want to do it anymore. Didn't want any part of those drugs and stuff. He said, there was one thing, though. There was one thing that I couldn't shake. It was smoking marijuana. I had smoked it since I was a teenager. 30 years straight of smoking marijuana. He said, if I was awake, I was high on marijuana. It's that simple. If any waking hour, I'm going to be high on marijuana. He thought, I will never get over this. There's no way. He said, I would go to church high. Smoke marijuana right before I walked into those doors of church. And the Spirit began to reveal, you can't do that. That's bad. So this guy said, oh, you're right, Lord. Totally. I'll smoke marijuana after church. He said, it was ingrained in me. It was a groove in me, a 30-year groove that was so strong, so powerful. There's no way I thought I could ever live without marijuana. It just helped me maintain. But the Spirit began to reveal, that's a problem. That's a problem. You need to take care of that problem. You need to deal with that. You need to mortify that. And he kept saying, Lord, there's no way. And finally he said, I came to a point in my life where I said, all right, Lord, you've been revealing this to me. This is a problem. I shouldn't be doing this. Fine. Take it away from me. It wasn't more than a couple days after that. He said he got high on an afternoon. He said it was the worst high he ever had in his life. Heart started pounding out of his chest. Cold sweats. Fever. Just freaking out. Went in. His wife said, what's wrong with you? You're white as a ghost. He said, nothing. I just need some fresh air. And he went outside and he sat down and he said, Lord, okay. Okay, Lord. You revealed this is a problem. Take this away from me. Take this, whatever these feelings, away from me, and I'm going to mortify marijuana. He said within a second, everything changed. Heart calmed down. Stop being feverish. Stop freaking out. And so he got up, went into his garage, gathered together every single thing that represented marijuana to him. Didn't take them and sell them, give them to somebody or hey, someone like that. Took them all together, lighters included. It was a lighter that was used for smoking marijuana. Then the lighter was taken. And he grabbed a hammer and he began to smash that stuff up, took it all together, put it in his garbage can. He said, that was 6 years ago. I have not even had the desire to smoke marijuana since. That's mortifying the deeds of the flesh. Not excusing it. Not justifying it. Not, well, you know, this is the way I've... 30... No. Not providing a little stash somewhere. Just in case. It's you destroy it, annihilate it, kill it. That's how it works. That's what leads to life. That was blocking our relationship, preventing you from moving forward, killing you. You need to kill it. Take it out. And what I've seen in my own life is this. When God's Spirit begins to reveal something to me, That needs to change, Matt. Those areas are not right. When God's Spirit begins to reveal something like that to me, there is power present when God reveals it. That I can get over that. That I can be like, okay, 6 years to haven't had the desire. On the other hand, if when God's Spirit reveals something to me, and I begin to justify my behavior, qualify my behavior, modify what the Spirit is trying to say, when I do that, what I find is that sin becomes a stronghold in my life because I haven't obeyed God's Spirit. It's what Paul would say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. He says, quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Quench not the Spirit. There's a quenching that can take place, a reduction of the Spirit's power in my life when I begin to despise prophesying. That word for despise means to count as nothing. Prophesying, it's a work of God's Spirit. Prophesying to me to speak to other people or prophesying to me to where I need to change. When I just say, nah, I'm not going to do that, God. Good suggestion, but I'm not doing it. When I do that, there's a quenching, there's a reduction of God's power in my life. When I simply obey and say, okay, I'm going to mortify this deed. I'm going to smash that stuff up. I'm going to completely annihilate it. Power is released to me. That's great, Matt. That's great for physical problems. Someone that struggles with drugs, okay, you can smash it all up. Alcohol, smash it all up. Pornography, take an axe to your computer screen, whatever. That's great for physical stuff. I can see that. My struggles are not physical. They're internal. Selfishness. Laziness. Jealousy. Envy. Negativity. Criticalness. That's my struggle. How do you mortify those deeds? How does it work for things that are internal, things that are going on inside of me that God's Spirit begins to reveal? How do I take those out? To me, the key is 1 John 1:9. It says simply there this: if we will confess our sins, He'll forgive us and will cleanse us. That word for cleanse means to purge, purify, mortify us from that uncleanliness. Confession, what it does is it kills sin. What's confession? Confession comes from two Greek words, homo, legeo. Homo means the same, legeo means to speak. It simply means I speak the same as the Spirit. I agree with God's Spirit. That's right. That activity, that attitude, that thing is wrong. I am agreeing with you. I'm not excusing that behavior. I'm not making excuses for myself. I'm not justifying myself. I am agreeing with you, God. That is wrong. That's confession. I agree, Lord. I need to stop that. And when we confess that way, God says, perfect. Now let me forgive you and cleanse you from that unrighteousness. Cure you from that problem. To me, confession is one of the most powerful ways that you can change. Just confessing. I agree, Lord. Not excusing, not justifying, not qualifying, not modifying, just you are absolutely right. That is a horrible attitude. That is a wrong mentality. That I cannot be doing that anymore. Cleanse me. And that's the Spirit's job. He'll purge you. He'll cleanse you. He'll change you. And so this morning, we're going to practically work out 1 John 1:9. How do you do that? To me, it's lived out at the Lord's table, communion. Jesus would say this about the Lord's table. He would say, listen, guys, this body of mine is being broken. My blood is being shed for you for the remission of sins, to put those sins into remission. And guys, I guess you can be dismissed to get the communion. Go ahead. This body is being broken. This blood is being shed for you that you might have your sins put into remission. And Paul would say, in 1 Corinthians 11, he would say, listen, church at Corinth, you have not given worth to the Lord's Supper. You have not given worth to communion. And because of that, some of you are sick. Some of you are weak. Some of you have even died. Because you haven't simply given worth to the Lord's table. I can't explain it all, but I know I've experienced it. There's a freedom. There's a power that can be released when you give worth to communion. So as we take communion today, if there was something during this message where you said, that needs to change. God, you've revealed that to me before. I need to change there. Agree with God. Confession. Say, as you drink of the cup, cleanse me from this unrighteousness. I cannot do it by myself. I'm not going to justify my behavior. I'm not going to try to modify what you are telling me. But I'm going to submit and I'm going to mortify that stuff. That is wrong. Change me today. And I have found power is released. 1 John 1:9. You can be changed to the Lord's table. So take advantage of this. We're going to sing a few songs. The guys are going to release. Our guys are going to pass out communion. And we'll take it together.